bargain on bargain. You want to turn your inbox to page 794. 794. In the first and last verse. 1 and 3. No tears in heaven, no sorrow in heaven, all will be glory in the light. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join the happy path. There'll be no tears, sorrow and hate will all have
you continue to lead us. And Lord, we just pray that everything that we do this morning will be well-pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper, please turn your look at page 300. 300. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Let my service the
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, when you read those verses, it really emphasizes the importance of partaking of this of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. You know, we are to not look at this as any common meal, the type of meal you would have inside your homes or that you would have inside of a restaurant. To not come in here and to rush when we partake of the Lord's Supper, to not just allow the human nature to kick in, to say, hey, you know, I'm going to do this a different way. I'm going to do this my way. You know, we don't come in here and say, hey, you know, this week I don't think I'm going to say a prayer this week. You know, I don't think I need to preside because, you know, everybody should know what this is about. Now, we make sure each and every first day of the week that we do everything according to Scripture. So as we prepared to partake of the Lord's Supper, we have before us, we have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together on the first day of the week, be able to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, be able to gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father, to come together and take this opportunity to show our gratitude unto you, Heavenly Father, for sending unto this world your only begotten Son, Jesus, and for thy Son, Jesus, to willingly give his life on the cross. Even though he was without sin, even though he had the power to save himself, Heavenly Father, his love was so great that he was willing to give his life for all of our sin. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread that represents our Son's body, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask by thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. This time, Lord, we're mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. For the great love that he had for us, Lord, that he would freely give up his life and crucified on the cross, Father, for our sins, Lord. The shedding of his blood, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. Lord, at this time, as we have that opportunity to partake of that cup, that fruit of the vine, which represents that blood, Father, pray, Lord, that you'd help us clear our hearts, clear our minds, help us reflect back to the cross and remember our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. And we pray that in doing so, that we might partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine, in a way and in a manner that is most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And we ask this, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And once again, the emphasis is placed upon the manner in which we should give and how where our hearts should be as we prepare to give back. So let us keep that in mind as we take this opportunity to give thanks for being able to give back. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings, for the beauty that you have created, that we are so blessed to be able to rise from our beds and see each and every morning, for giving us the gift of life, for your guidance, for your comfort, Heavenly Father, for not allowing us to be overwhelmed by anything, Heavenly Father. We know that through thy grace, Heavenly Father, you can bring us through any situation that we may face. And we just thank for Heavenly Father for giving us the ability and the will to be able to rise up each and every morning, Heavenly Father, to be able to go out and to work and to be able to provide for our loved ones. And we're so thankful for this opportunity to be able to give back a portion of the many blessings you have given us, so that we be able to attend to the needs of the congregation, the needs of this building, to continue to spread your word, Heavenly Father. We pray that as we give back, that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Board must be able to page 920. 920, that would be our song of the present. After marking that, you would turn to your black supplemental book to page number 4. Number 4. Sing the first and last verse. What is this?
Heard my journey through the land, singing at my door. Pointing forth to Calvary, to the crimson pole. Many hours here my soul from without within. But my Lord, lead me on, through him I must live. Every single I want to see there. Look upon this day, and there my Lord, there you'll see forever. Come and say me friend. On the street of glory, let me live my horse. You see no care, and on more than that, ever to
Reading this morning is going to come from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. That's John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. I'll be reading from the King James Version. The scripture is entitled, or the lesson this morning is entitled, Continue in My Love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, Brother Skippy.
I want to say good morning. Surely God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come. Worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning and those who have called in on our conference call. We're just glad that you've decided to be a part of this service on today. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most wise Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day and for your blessings and this opportunity you've given us. Again, summon ourselves together this morning. Lord, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and things it has to say to us. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, everything that we've fallen short of, Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord, that you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This month, we've been looking at love. We talked about an all-around love. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19, Then we looked at last week displaying. Are we displaying agape love? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. So today we're going to be looking at continue in my love. In John 15, verse number 9 through verse 14. And so when you look at the word love is hard to define today because it is used so loosely. We say that I love ice cream, but does it love you back? We say I love Wheel of Fortune. What, the wheel? Or the fortune. And so we use this love so loosely. But we have to understand what is real love. God is love. And the best way to understand true love is to get to know the God of love. And so as we look at John 15. This is near the end of Jesus' life. His lengthy discourse. It begins in chapter 14 and it runs through chapter 16. And then in chapter 17, we find Jesus' prayer for his disciples. Then in chapter 18, he starts with his arrest and his betrayal. So when you look at chapter 15 and verse number 1 through verse number 8, it sets the stage for verses 9 through verse 17. In verse 1 through verse number 8, Jesus told us that the Father is the husbandman. He's the vine grower, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And then he introduced the idea of abiding in Jesus in verse number 4 of chapter 15. And then later he continues that imagery by saying in verse 9, continue in my love. But it also introduced the idea that everything begins with the Father. This is reflected again in Jesus' statement in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And it also is repeated in the second section by Jesus' statement, even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Continue in my love. Verse number 9. And so we're going to pick up this morning with verse number 9. And what we need to learn, number 1, is from verse 9 that we are loved. Look again in verse 9, Jesus said that the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus speaks of his and the Father's love for them. Not that they didn't know Jesus loved them, but the upper room is the first place we see that Jesus specifically mentioned his love for them. When you look at John 13 and verse 34, he says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But then, secondly, not only are we a love, but when you look at verse 9, we have direction. We see an interesting phrase in verse in the latter part of verse 9 when he says, continue in my love. Remain in my love. What does that mean? Well, the Greek word, it means dwelling in a particular place, remaining there, abiding there, to continue in Jesus' love. It suggests being immersed in Jesus' love, surrounded by Jesus' love, comforted by Jesus' love, empowered by Jesus' love to continue operating in his love. And so the emphasis is love. Love begins with the Father, and it flows through the Son and the disciples in verse 9. And so we remain, we continue in his love when we love one another, as Jesus said. When we continue strengthening our love for Jesus, continue to love what he loves, serve him in love, and then remain in his love. If we love as Jesus loves us, we will see all through God's eyes. We will see past the faults. We'll see past the differences. We'll see past the things that separate us and just see the person as God created them to be. We will see the image of God in everyone and knows that all are welcome and loved by God. We will realize that whether or not we like this person doesn't matter. We are connected to this person. We are responsible for and to this person, and we are to love this person. But then thirdly, we see in verse 10 and verse number 12, we must obey his command. Notice what he says there in verse number 10. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we see in verse 10 what will enable us to remain, to continue in his love. It is contingent on obedience. Jesus provides us with a model of obedience. He has come to do the will of the one who sent him. He keeps the Father's word. He does the Father's will so that the world might know that he loves the Father. The Father loves Jesus because he lays down his life in obedience to the Father's command. And Jesus promised to love the disciples if they obey his command. Now look at John 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, love is an action word, so that the way we love Jesus is to follow his command. If we love Jesus, we'll do what pleases him, and there will be the fruit of obedience in our lives. But then notice also it's important to understand that this is a choice. Because notice what he says in verse 10. He starts out by saying, if. We do not have to obey our Lord. We don't have to obey his word. But if we do, it is a true sign that we love Jesus. We are called to love as Jesus loves. We are called to show this world that they will know we are Christians by our love in John 13 and verse 35. We are called to show God's love through our actions, our deeds, and everything that we do. We are called to bear fruit that lasts and will satisfy this hungry, this broken world. And because God sees us, God knows us, and he still loves us, we are called to love one another, to bear each other, to build each other up, to stay with each other. It is this life-changing love that formed the basis of our lives as Christians. See, if the love of Jesus is in us, then the desire to do his will also be in us. Our love for people prompts us to show it, not begrudgingly, but joyfully. And it's not always easy to do loving things. It's not always easy to love people who are unlovable. And sometimes we need to force ourselves because we won't always feel like it, but we do it because Jesus loved us when we were unlovable. And so Paul to the Colossians, in Colossians 3 and verse 14, he says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. He's talking about a love that gives and expects nothing in return. You don't love someone because they love you back. No, you love them because the God you serve is a God of love. And so love isn't just abstaining from doing your brother and your sister harm, but it's looking for ways to do him or her some good, even if he or she doesn't particularly deserve it. See, that is the Christ kind of love, giving people not what they deserve, but what they need. And so then we look at verse 11. In verse 11, we have a promise. Notice, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so what we have here is that Jesus, he reveals that he has told them this so that his joy could be in them and their joy may be full. When you look at the word full means complete. So Jesus told them this so that they could have the fullness of joy. Having the fullness of joy is having the joy that Christ has. And I'm here to tell you that all of us, we sometimes have days when it seems like we are carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. That's part of life. But understand that the joy that we have did not come from the world, but it came through Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is not attached to what is happening in our lives. Our joy can be full when we walk in and share the love that Christ has given us. But here's the point. The point is that if we can't ever get to the place where we can love each other the way that God wants us to love, then church, how can we ever expect to demonstrate that kind of love to this sinful world? If we can't love one another in here. And so then we see in verse 13, what we see then is that we have friends. Because notice what he says. He says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We need friends. I'm talking about people who are there for us. People who care about us. And God knows that. And church, you know, it's nice to have friends. I'm talking about friends that there's someone that you can call on
in time of need, someone who you can discuss things with, someone who you can turn to when you're dealing with something and it's not going to be spread everywhere. It's good to have people that you can share good news with, someone who will be excited with positive things that are happening in your life. And if you have someone who you can call a best friend, that's even better. This is the person who knows you better than anyone. The person that you are not afraid to be yourself with. The person who knows your secrets, knows your dreams. The person who knows all your faults but loves you anyway. Jesus is a lot of things to us. He is the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He is our Savior, but that one thing that Jesus is that we might not think about very often, and that is he's a friend. He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. Jesus is our greatest friend. Because notice again, greater love had no man than this. Then a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do what I command. In the Greco-Roman world, people would place a high value on friendship and recognize the possibility that it might become necessary for a person to sacrifice his or her life in behalf of a friend. But you got to understand what's happening here. See, at this point, the disciples do not understand that Jesus will soon die for his friend. After the resurrection, they will finally understand the significance of these words. Jesus' love will require him to go to the cross for his friends. His command to love each other, as I have loved you in verse 12, also requires serious sacrifice. The love which Jesus speaks is more than a feeling. It's love in action. It's love that pays the price. And no man can carry his love for his friends farther than this. For when he gives up his life, he gives up all that he has. And this is the proof of Jesus' love to you and to me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's action. Jesus loved us enough to die on Calvary's cross. That's action. And so Jesus calls us friends because he wants us to know that there is such love and compassion for you and I. He desires a deep connection with you and I. And we are not just a number to Jesus. We are not just some man or some woman. We are love friends of the Savior of the universe. When you and I became Christian, we became friends of Jesus. And that's the part of church that Jesus intended us to have in the church. We are his friends, so we should be friends with each other. And then finally, in verse 14, we have a stipulation. In verse 14, we have a stipulation. The friendship is contingent on the obedience of the disciple. Notice what he said. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command. You and I do not have to be a friend of God. You and I do not have to be on friendly terms with Jesus. Because friend status is based on obedience to the commands of Jesus. And that's a big deal. Because it's a big deal because in reality, we cannot just say we are Christians. We cannot just say we believe in Christ. We must actually obey Him. Do what He says. And Jesus knows we struggle sometimes to love each other as we should. So He told us, follow His example. Learn from Him. Make it your life goal to be there for each other, because He's there for you and I. Make it a goal to love one another, because He loves us. This love thing is serious. God's plan for the local church is to be a place of covenant relationship. Not only that, He wants us to be a place of love. So when people interact with us, they feel the love of God radiating from you and I. Love is present within a place. Healing can take place. Praise can take place. Needs can be fulfilled because God's love is being present. So what Jesus wants us to do is not only display agape love, but continue in His love. Continue to love one another as He loves us. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you heard a portion of God's word, believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, don't put it off. Respond right now. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come?
Thank you.
Father.